Okay, welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church. Glad to have you folks. Glad to have you folks visiting with us. So thank you for coming. So let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your blessings and the way you provide. You take care of us. And Father, I just pray that you'll be with us this morning as we study this great book of Romans. And Father, as we're, this is the 4th of July, Lord, coming up tomorrow. And Lord, we're thankful for the independence that you've given us. Lord, the freedoms that we have. And Lord, just the freedoms you've given us. And our nation was founded on biblical principles. And Lord, I uphold our nation up to you now, Lord. We have turned into a very wicked, wicked, wicked nation. And Lord, the laws were... it's good to have some good news on the news for a change, Lord. And Lord, about the abortion thing being overturned. Wow, what a black mark that's been against this nation. Father, I just pray that, I pray for revival in this land. Lord, it seems impossible for that to even happen, Lord. But Lord, you could do that. And I pray that you'd bring a revival in this land and turn us back around and, Lord, get us headed back in the right direction. And Father, we just pray. We beg your mercy, Lord. We beg your mercy and your long suffering. But Lord, we deserve your judgment. And Father, we've been seeing that happen across our land with all the fires and the floods and everything that's taken place. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the freedom you've given us. Thank you for our nation. And Lord, I just pray that you would, lead us. Pray, Lord, that we might follow. And Lord, I pray for a bunch of our politicians. Lord, I pray for all of them. But Lord, there's just a lot of them just need to be saved. I pray, Lord, that you would spend revival among our politicians. They have passed laws, Lord, that are so wicked and so evil and so against you and your desires and your wishes. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in their hearts, Lord, and just give them a good dose of salvation. So, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to the book of Romans this morning. And, Lord, as we study this, I pray, Father, that, Lord, it will strengthen each and every one of us and help us, Lord, just to develop a stronger desire, Lord, just to have a closer walk with you. Lord, just to become more Christ-like as we go through our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. All right, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 12. We have just finished verses 1 and 2, talking about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And folks, again, just to stop and think about what that means, what that entails, that's what God is asking us to do. He used to have dead sacrifices, now he wants living sacrifices. That's you and me serving him. And so we've covered that, and again, I'm very uncomfortable as I'm teaching that because I think people probably think the Sunday school teacher is probably supposed to have some kind of a handle on what he's teaching. Folks, that I fall so far short, and it's just, but anyway. So we are going to pick it up at verse 3. That's where we started off last time, and this is going to be a continuation. Even through chapter 13, 12 and 13, it is all based on the fact of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. This is God is going to be telling us what he wants, how he wants us to live, and just different rules and things like that to go by, or precepts, whatever you want to call them. So, let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5. And so let's read those this morning. So who'd read those for us? John?
For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we,
okay, thank you, John. Okay, so Paul starts this verse off, for I say through the grace given unto me. All right? There's that word grace again. Now, when Paul's talking about this grace here, what kind of grace is he talking about here? Okay? He is not talking about saving grace. That is not what he's talking about. Saving grace is experienced by all believers. We've all had that. If you're saved, you have experienced saving grace. If you're not saved, you have not. Okay? But anyway, all believers have received saving grace. There's no question about that. But that is not what Paul has in mind here when he's talking about the grace that's been given to him. It is a grace specifically that called him to be an apostle, ordained him to a position of authority. That is a grace he's referring to. And as we see the text, we're going to see that that's going to make sense. Paul says, I was called by God's grace to be an apostle. And as an apostle, he had authority. Paul had authority. And that's the grace that he's talking about, the grace that God gave me to be an apostle and to put me in a position of leadership. And that was a grace. He had received from God the call that called him into the ministry to preach. That is by the grace of God that he got that. So he was an apostle by grace. Now, this is a verse showing humility. And in a verse on humility, you don't pull rank, okay? But that's kind of what Paul is leading up to here. He is going to be pulling rank, all right? So what he says is, I need to pull rank, but I want you to know that my rank has nothing to do with me. As an apostle, I'm going to be teaching you and telling you some things as a person in authority that God has given me. It has to do with God's grace. So there's humility even in the way he refers to his apostleship. He goes on to say, I say to you now, I'm speaking to you as one who has authority. So he's making that clear. And that authority given me by Christ himself was given not because I was worthy. Oh, far be it from that. I am not worthy to be in this position, is what Paul's saying. In fact, he says to Timothy, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy and the grace of our Lord. Paul said, I don't deserve it. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. You know, he persecuted the church. He had people killed, put in prison. So he says, I was made an apostle by mercy, love, by God's grace. But nonetheless, I am an apostle, and I'm speaking to you as an apostle, which means I do have authority to speak to you in the way I'm getting ready to speak. I'm saying it as an apostle by grace, but I'm saying it as an apostle with authority. And so the verse goes on to say, it says, to every man that is among you. All right? Notice that nobody is left out. Nobody's left out. Every man. And folks, he's going to be talking to us as well through the scriptures. All right? Nobody gets off the hook. All professed Christians anywhere to all of you. Okay? And he's leading into he's leading into what we're getting ready to lead into, okay? The verse goes on to say, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. All right, we're going to take a look at that. To think with sober thinking, not to be high-minded. Not to overestimate one's self-worth or to think proudly. Paul's saying we're not to do that. There's sin contained in exaggerated self-esteem. God calls it sin. The Bible says the Lord hates a proud heart. 1 Peter, talking to people who were in leadership, says, be clothed with humility for God. Be clothed with humility, comma. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in his own time. We're not supposed to toot our own horn, folks. Let God do that. If our horn is to be tooted, let him do it. We shouldn't do it ourselves. And a lot of times we like to brag on ourselves and tell people how wonderful we are. God doesn't like that. Most people think humble people are sort of meek, quiet, and out of the way. Paul was not one that was meek, quiet, and out of the way. He was not. Neither was Christ. Okay? You know, Christ was meek, but he was a man among men, folks. Now watch this. Okay, we talked about don't think too highly of yourselves. Now we're going to flip the coin here. But don't think too low of yourself. Don't think too low of yourself. He's saying think right. Think properly. Okay? Don't go around saying, oh, I'm a worm. I'm a nobody. I'm no good. I'm worthless. A lot of people do that. People with a low self-esteem. All right? And when somebody says, man, you can really minister. Are you really great? Are you doing, you know? A lot of times when you say, oh, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I can't do anything, it's actually a mild form of bragging. If you want somebody to say, oh, you're wonderful, you're doing a great job, and inside you're saying, keep it up, you're stroking my ego, just keep praising me, I love it. Okay? Humility is not an overestimation or an underestimation, it is a right estimation of yourself. Okay? Folks, God has got a purpose for each and every one of us. He has a plan for you, and that means you are worth something. You're not a nobody. And it's not that you can't do anything. Now, you may not be doing anything, but it's not that you can't. It's that you won't. You don't have a desire to, okay? But God has given, and we're going to be looking at the different members and stuff of that, the different roles they play. That's where we're headed with all this. And God has got a purpose for each and every one of us. And he wants to use us, and he's given us gifts to be used for his glory. And a lot of us are slacking. A lot of us are slacking. We're not doing what he's called us to do. It's being able to say, yes, God has gifted me. I thank God that he has given me a way to serve him for his glory. That should be our estimation of ourselves. Paul is not afraid to say, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by grace. He wasn't afraid to say, I'm an apostle. Okay? I have authority because God gave it to me. And so I'm going to use it. I'm going to use the abilities he's given me. We must deal with that honestly, without pride, but without false humility either. Okay? So on one hand, I have put my life on the altar, verses 1 and 2, okay? And I look at myself humbly and say, I give my life to God. Whatever he chooses to do, I want to do that. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. Whatever he's leading me to do, I want to do it. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. God has given me gifts to be used for him. And so I rightly evaluate my function. And folks, we're going to see here, everybody's got a function in this church. Nobody's off the hook. We all have a responsibility. And if we are not doing our job, the church suffers. And we're going to see that. The church cannot function as well as it could if we're not using our resources for the Lord. And that's a balance because I have a function. I am a member of his body. You are a member of the body of this church. We all are. We all have a purpose. We all have a role. And as a member of this body, there is a function that I must do for the church to function properly. Now, we don't have to do it. You know, we could sit back and slack. The verse goes on to say, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, that verse is saying God measures out the ability, you might say. He measures out the amount of faith to do what we need to do. But God gives us the enabling, but he measures it out. Not everybody gets the same amount of faith, I guess you might say. Every believer has a cup. One person gets so much in his cup, another person gets a different amount in his. Some people, God gifts in a greater way than others. No doubt about that. Okay? I can compare myself to Billy Graham. Okay? God didn't fill my cup like he filled Billy Graham's. I'm just using him for an example. Okay? The measure for everybody is different. And a lot of times we want to compare ourselves with somebody else. Folks, God has given us the amount he wants us to have. And we are to use that amount. But we should not be, trying to compare ourselves with others. Because maybe God has gifted the guy beside you more than you, or less than you. We can't look down on him either. We're going to be looking at that as well. He measures it out for each of us distinctly. We are one of a kind. We are spiritual snowflakes, one of the guys said. There aren't any two of us alike. No two snowflakes are alike. I never really checked that out to be sure, but we'll just leave it at that. There's a whole lot of folks who have the gift of exhortation, or a whole lot of folks who have the gifts of helps. And yet each one of them is utterly unique. And each one is needed in the body, in this body, in Christ's body. That's because each of us has uniquely measured out to us the measure of faith, whatever God has given us. Now, this is not speaking about saving faith. Not saving faith. Because saving faith isn't measured out differently to everybody. I mean, when you get saved, you get 100%. It's not measured out. Okay? Salvation's not. Okay, the way we're gifted to the abilities we have is. Saving faith is the same faith. It's totally put in our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And folks, there is no other way. There is no other God. That's something else we're going to be looking at. So what is it? It is basically the kind and quantity of faith it takes to operate our gift, whatever God has given us. For example, if one has a gift of teaching and preaching, then God gives them the faith it takes to use that gift. God gives it to us. It's measured out, but he's given it to us. And he gives us the spiritual insights and sensitivities and comprehensions to use that gift. Everybody has been gifted with certain gifts, and we're going to look at those. And I'll just move on. Move on to verse 4. Before we move on, any questions or comments? Okay. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. All right. For as we have many members in one body. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to take a look at this. And stay in Corinthians. Stay in 1 Corinthians. We're gonna be in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 12 through 27. 12 through 27. And who would read that for us? Delbert? Schism. Okay.
In the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. That was a long reading.
Yeah.
But it is talking about, folks, we're all part of the body of this church. We all have a different function, just like what this is describing right here. Okay, now again, stay in 1 Corinthians. We have one body, and it has members. Eyes, ears, nose, and organs inside. Fingers, arms, legs, and all that. All these members don't have the same function. In fact, each one of them has a different function. So we go from a proper sacrifice, okay. So in other words, we've laid our life on the altar, verses 1 and 2, okay, to the right attitude, to the right relationship. We need to have the right attitude, the right relationship about ourselves and our standing in the church. And we understand that we are all essential to the body of Christ. Folks, each and every one of us is essential for this church to function properly and for the body of Christ as a whole. To function properly. All right, in don't go back to Romans, but in Romans that verse goes on and says, and all members have not the same office or not the same function. So we all do not have the same function. Pastor's a pastor. We're not all pastors, okay? Okay, let's go ahead and now... It's talking about the function. Not all members have the same office. So now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. So we're going to back up. So 12, 4 through 11. And who'd read that for us? Somebody different. Yes, sir.
Wisdom,
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, and as you noticed here, we talked about this, last Sunday we didn't even get into Romans, okay? But the Sunday before, we talked about the fact, now this is listing what, okay, I'm just going to stop just a minute. Here's a pop quiz, all right? There's three different gifts, okay? Who can name the three different gifts? Kinds of gifts, okay? And I'll give you a clue. They all started with an S. Remember that? Okay, now I'm going to see if anybody was awake 2 weeks ago. So what are the three? Everybody must have been asleep. Okay. Okay. That's two of them. Surveyed, right. Okay. The sign gifts, the speaking gifts, and the serving gifts. Okay. Now, this listed here, the sign gifts, that was the miracle gifts. Okay. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings. Okay. Those type of things. And that was very real at that time. Now, we believe that the sign gifts have passed away now. They have ceased, okay? But they're listed right here. And you remember, and it said 1 Corinthians was written in about 64 A.D. I think. I'm working on memory here. But anyway, and this is the only time in this book that the sign gifts are listed. You look in the other parts of the Bible where they're talking about the spiritual gifts, okay? The sign gifts are not mentioned anymore. And I remember it started 4 years later was when the next section of Scripture was written. And then the last three, there's a total of four different places. The last three, the sign gifts are not mentioned. Only the first in 1 Corinthians, because it was written first. And one person speculates that might be because maybe the sign gifts might have either ceased by that time, or they might have at least fallen off. And the reason that the sign gifts were used was, I mean, these guys were doing miracles. You know, I mean, the apostles going out and doing miracles and stuff like that. And it was to authenticate the Word of God. Say, hey, what these guys are saying is real. Well, you just saw it as divine, so the message that they are getting ready to deliver you is divine. So people stand up, pay attention, because they just did a miracle. Okay? Because the canon of Scripture had not been written yet. And so later on now, these sign gifts were not mentioned. Now I realize, in fact, the last one of the books, I think it was written about 7 or 8 years after the 1 Corinthians was written. But I also bear in mind that Revelation and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John was written in about 90 A.D., So in other words, so that was a lot later in time. Anyways, what I'm trying to say, we believe that the sign gifts are gone. They're not used anymore. There is no more speaking in tongues. You know, there is no more interpretation. There is no more, spiritual, what am I trying to say? The healers, faith healers. We don't believe in that. Okay, like Pastor said, if it was real, let's go clean out the hospitals all across this land. I mean, that'd make the headlines of paper, folks. Okay? And so they've got to have it in their own environment and their own thing, and like I say, they work their thing, and they tout it, and a lot of people fall for that. But now we have the canon of Scripture has been written. And so, okay, so what I'm trying to say, okay, we believe the sign gifts are past, but that leaves the last two, okay, which is speaking gifts and the serving gifts. And so that's what we're getting ready to, in fact, I've got off my notes here, and I know I should never get off my notes because then I get lost. Let me get my act together here. Okay, we just read 4-11. Okay, now skip over, and let's go ahead and finish out the chapter and read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 31. And so who'd read that for us? Somebody different. Royce, I see that hand.
And God has appointed these in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Okay. And then that leads into chapter 13, which is a love chapter. Okay. But notice how all these questions that Paul is asking here, they all demand a no answer. You know, in other words, everybody has a different function. And note that it says all members. He doesn't leave anybody out. We're all included, every one of us. Okay? We want to recognize that though there is unity at the level of commitment, there is a tremendous diversity at the level of service. We all have different functions, and each function is needed. Like a body that has many members, so the body of Christ has many members. It's just like our body, eyes, ears, nose, and throat. Okay, let's go back to Romans now. And yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Is that a spiritual gift? Complaining? It must not be. Okay. All right. Let's see. We're in chapter 12. I'm in 13. All right. So 12 verse 5, it says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Okay. So we being many are one body in Christ, and we're all members one of another. This reminds us that every one of us is distinct. There's no two the same. There's only one body, but everyone has a different, member and plays a different part. We're all joined in a spiritual body as a human body works together. We are to work together. We share common life, common gifts, common ministry, common resources, common joy, common sorrow, common everything. We are a body. Okay? We've got 5 minutes. Let's go ahead and read Romans 12, 6 through 8. We'll go ahead and get started here. Our time's about up. So who'd read 6 through 8 for us? Somebody over here. Other than Dilbert. Anybody. Everybody. Okay, Roberta. Okay, thank you, Roberta. Okay, so we're all different. We all have different gifts. We all have different functions. Okay? So the verse starts off, then having gifts different according to the grace that is given us. So again, we all have different gifts. And out of that is to flow a life of service unique to us. We are to use our gift to serve the Lord. God-given channels in the believer sovereignly designed for every Christian. God gave it to us, and he measures it out in proportion. Through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the building up of the church. And let me just stop and say this. It's coming, but we're going to have to close here. These ministries, it doesn't mean you have to be done in the church, in this body here. You could start a home school in your home. You could do it at home. You could have a ministry, you know, outside of the church and use your spiritual gift in that way. And a lot of people do that, okay? I remember back when we had little kids, our church, we had different, what we call joy clubs. A lot of the ladies at our church, right in their home, they'd invite all the kids in the neighborhood to come, and they'd sit down and have a Bible study, you know. And so it does, what I'm talking about here and all this, it doesn't have to be necessarily be done in a church, just to be using it for the Lord, no matter where it is. So, anyway, and I thought I better mention that because, our time is, in fact, we got 2 minutes. I'm just going to stop. So, any questions or comments before we close? Not everybody at once. Okay. Oh, I just get, okay.
Since we got a minute or so, maybe some of you have heard this, but there was an example given.
Can you guys hear him back there? They're saying yes.
And your brain says you shouldn't have left that there in the first place. And mm-hmm. your arm reaches down with your hand to hold your toe that hurts. And mm-hmm. your legs, if there's a chair available, you sit down. Your legs mm-hmm. work to sit down. Mm-hmm. And all of that works together. Mm-hmm. And our spiritual gifts are supposed to work together like that.
I've never heard that before, but I love it, John. Very good, very good. In fact, I wasn't going to say this, but I will. I had a former pastor that talking about all this different parts of the body, and this guy always used to ask, what if you were a liver? Anyway, I wasn't going to do that, but anyway. Okay, anybody else before we close? Thank you, folks, for coming. It's a joy to have you here. So you bring him any time, Verna. Okay. Okay, we finished? Go in once? Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, thank you for loving us in spite of what we are. And Lord, help each and every one of us, Lord, to take this seriously. About using the talents you've given us, Lord, the gifts you've given us. Lord, help us to have a desire to use them more and more for your honor and for your glory. Lord, to become a part of the body and strengthen our church. Help us, Lord, just to pull together and be a unit, be a body, you know, like it's talking about. And Father, these verses are so real and so rich. And Lord, it applies to each and every one of us. There's nobody is supposed to be off the hook. So just pray, Lord, that you'll just guide us and direct us in that area. Help us, Lord, to have a desire, Lord, just to continue to grow in Christ's likeness. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to have a closer walk with you. And Lord, just to become stronger and to be more useful for you. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor as he brings a morning message. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts And Father, open hearts and help us, Lord, to be strengthened and to be built up in the faith. And Father, we're just thankful for the privilege we have of serving you. And help us, Lord, not to let you down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.